Scripture lesson this morning is from Exodus chapter 34, beginning at verse 27, reading through the end of the chapter and the first few verses in the next chapter. Hear this, God's Word. Exodus 34, beginning at verse 27. And the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. When he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put a veil over his face again until he went to speak with him. And Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, these are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days' work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day. All my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. Pray with me. Father, speak to us from this your word for our blessing and good. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I confess that I enjoy trivia. I sometimes say to my family that I have an easier time remembering facts of no consequence in contrast to the things I ought to be remembering. But one little thing that has always fascinated me is a bit of trivia about the famous sculpture of Moses by Michelangelo. You can find that in a lot of art books. If you see that and study it, you will notice the beauty, the strength of Michelangelo's culture, of Michelangelo's sculptures. But one curious thing, if you look at Moses' head, you will see two little horns coming out. Are you familiar with that? Any of you? Some of you maybe have noticed that. Some of you are going to get your art books out this afternoon. Do you know the reason for that? The reason for that is in the Latin, the Vulgate version of the passage that we read, that passage that speaks of light shining from his face, the Vulgate translates that as horns of light. And Michelangelo, going by the Latin Vulgate, very literally put little horns there. So it helps us to understand what's going on in that sculpture. But more than that, understanding this passage, Exodus 34, helps us understand what's going on with Moses' shining face and what Paul makes of that in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians. I want us to consider it for just a little while this morning. First of all, we ought to remember what's going on. In the previous chapters, remember, Moses went up and met with God. God gave him the Ten Commandments. But while all that was going on, the people were making a golden calf and bowing down and worshiping it. And so when Moses came down, he threw down the tablets. He broke them. He ended up reprimanding the people, telling them, of the wickedness that they had done, and telling them, we're told of God's wrath burning hot against Israel. But Moses pleads with them. And so after all of that, Moses comes back to speak with God, and we have that he was with God on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. That's why I call it a conference with God, and I think you can see from the outcome that it was a successful conference. Of course, it's not a conference between equals. It's never that way with God. It was God who told Moses to come up. It was God who graciously entered into covenant with the people. But Moses wasn't just a bump on a log. We see that he pleads for the people. We see that he asked to see God, and if you remember from a previous sermon, God revealed himself to Moses, and he revealed his grace to Moses. He reveals himself in this way, in this description: merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God himself gives that description of himself. And then he goes on to promise the great marvels that he will do for this people as he takes them into the promised land. In spite of their sin, right after their wickedness, he promises his grace. By the way, I think that's what we can always expect when we meet with God. A lot of things can happen, but almost always he reveals something of who he is, and he reveals something of his grace. Don't forget that when you come to worship, that God would reveal something of who he is to you and something of his grace. Let that be your focus. Not whether the songs were exactly to your liking that particular Sunday, or whether the preacher had a snappy story, but that God reveals something of himself to you and something of his grace. In every part of worship, the reading of Scripture, in the prayer, in the songs, in the preaching of the sermon, God would reveal himself to us. And then we have the commands of God in this passage as well. Often it seems popular today that there is a contrast by having a relationship with God and content, and particularly a relationship with God and the commands of God. Sometimes it's the idea, well, we don't want all of that content. We don't want those commands. We want to just kind of hang with God as good buds. But the Scripture doesn't picture it that way. When there's fellowship with God, there's content. He tells us about himself. Indeed, his commands tell us something about his character. And I would suggest to you, his commands also are a display of his grace. Whether those commands are driving us to see the need of his grace because we cannot keep his commands, or whether those commands are showing us his grace by keeping us from going into those patterns of life that are spiritually destructive. Whenever God reveals himself, he is showing his grace. He gives the Ten Commandments, and that's gracious. And then he goes on in the next chapter. The reason that I read the first few verses, you see that Moses goes into talking about specific commands. He talks about Sabbath, but he talks about other things as well. The chapter goes into reiterating the commands of God. God is revealing himself. God is revealing his grace. But he is also putting that together with the commands that reveal his character and show his grace. Show his grace in the sense that it is only through his grace in Jesus Christ that the commands can be perfectly kept for us. And only through his grace at work in us that the commands are progressively kept in us. God's grace. God's grace is at work, and it's not in contrast or contradiction to the content, to the commandment, to His Word. That's why the psalmist can say, "Oh, how I love your law. I love your law." It could be the equivalent of a country song. You know, some of these country songs, you know, I like this, I like that, I like the other, but I really love my pickup truck or whatever it is. The psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law." That surprises us, but it shouldn't, because it's a revelation of who God is. It's a revelation of His will for us. It's a revelation that drives us to God and His grace. The same is the only way we can understand the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when He says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." You see how they go together? That's what we have here, this wonderful covenant relationship with God. But in the midst of this covenant relationship, He reveals His Word. That's again, that's the way we understand the promise of the new covenant in Jeremiah. What does Jeremiah say? This great promise that one day there will be a new covenant. And the New Testament, particularly the writer of Hebrews, says this is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He quotes two different times extensively this passage from Jeremiah. And what does Jeremiah say in that passage? He says that He will put His law in our hearts. A heart's desire to be like God. That's what we have here. We need to ask ourselves, do we say, "Oh, how I love your law"? How do we respond when Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands"? Do we need to be specific in regard to commandments such as loving one another or forgiving one another or being peacemakers or seeking first the kingdom of God? You plug in the commandments, the teaching of God's Word. When Jesus says to follow Him, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him, do you love that? Do you remember that Jesus took the commands and He took them so much deeper? The commandment not to kill, He takes and He applies that to hatred. How is it with hatred or malice or bitterness in our lives? You see, do we love God's law? Then we see the experience of Moses coming down from the mountain, and his countenance was shining. Verse 29, his face shone because he had been talking with God. In the next verse, we read that the people saw it and they were afraid to come near him. I think it could be almost like a little comedy sketch. Moses has been up there for 40 days and he comes down and he starts walking toward the people. And what did the people do? And Moses takes another cup of sugar and they kind of move out of the way more. And he doesn't realize what's going on. And finally, at some point, he realizes his face is shining and the people are afraid. So finally, he's not getting anywhere, going closer and closer to people. He said, "What? Stop. You come to me." What was that like? Was it kind of a scary, eerie thing that made them afraid? Well, I would say it's not eerie like Halloween eerie. The shining was a reflection of the Shekinah glory of God. It was an awesome and awe-inspiring glory. It was like when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he fell down before that transcendent holiness of God and says, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, dwelling in the midst of unclean people. Woe is me." He was overcome with awe, and it seems to me that the people saw something of that reflected in Moses' face, a reflection of the glory of God. It was awe-inspiring. It was a testimony to the glorious presence of God. And then I want us to see Christ's fulfillment in us of what's going on here. As we quickly move in, if you want to jot down this passage, I'll read a few verses from it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, "How if the ministry of death carved in letters of stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory?" Paul's saying, this ministry of the law, this ministry of condemnation, if you will, had a glory attached to it. If that was the case of the giving of the law, how much more glory comes with the new covenant and the revelation of the fullness of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a greater glory that we have. And then he says this new glory not only surpasses the old glory, but it permanently fulfills what was just partial before. Now, I think we might accept all of that. But then in verse 17, he says, "We have a freedom in the Spirit." In verse 18, he writes, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." This is what I want you to see by way of fulfillment. If you drifted out, drift back in now. Moses saw the glory of the Lord and he had a shining face. Paul says, here's the application for you. I want you to see three things by way of the application. First of all, he says, "and we all." This is not just for a few super Christian. This is for everyone. That's why I'm asking for everyone to listen. This is for you. "We all, with unveiled faces, behold the glory of the Lord." That's the second point of application. First of all, it's for all of us. Secondly, we are allowed to see the glory of the Lord. We're allowed to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would challenge you with this. There's some people in the congregation that say, "I don't do enough challenging, in-your-face kind of preaching." Okay, I don't like in-your-face kind of preaching. But this is a wonderful invitation. You behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you beheld His glory? I'm not asking you how many verses you know, how many facts about His birth, His ministry, His teaching, His parables. As important as those things are, those are a means to the end. I'm asking you, have you beheld His glory? Have you beheld Christ's glory lately? And then the third point of application comes from that. As we behold His glory, Paul says we're transformed from glory to glory. Just as Moses reflected the glory of the Lord, as we behold Jesus Christ face to face, as it were, by faith, we are transformed from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another. The Greek word is our word for metamorphosis. We are metamorphosized from glory to glory. It makes a difference. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, something happens. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, those barriers between the Lord and ourselves are torn down. The barriers of sin that would quench and grieve the Holy Spirit are torn down. We've been so busy building those up and protecting those barriers, but when the Lord Jesus Christ is there and we behold something of His glory, the barriers go down. When we behold His glory, our first love is kindled. As Jesus admonishes in the book of Revelation, you've forgotten your first love. How do we rekindle that first love? We behold His glory. When we behold His glory, face to face, somehow the grumbling and the grumbling, the complaining, the blame shifting fades away. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in our heart relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes a difference in what we see in the world, the trials and the difficulties and the treasures of this world. It makes a difference in the way we regard one another. Do you recognize your need to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and be changed by that? You see, you can come to church and you can learn some new fact. You can be stirred emotionally and something happens. But when that's all there is, you go back home and it's just the same on Monday and Tuesday, and by Wednesday it may be worse. Paul is saying, we need something like Moses experienced. And it's for us. We may behold Jesus Christ by faith. Do you desire that? Do you call out to Jesus, show me something of yourself? It's so easy to go through our list of prayers. Lord, I want this and this and this and this. And bless Aunt Hattie. And take care of Grandma Sue. And oh yes, Cousin Jim. And all of those things are fine. But somewhere, our heart's desire ought to get around to this. Show me your glory, Lord Jesus. By faith, let me see something of who you are. Your character, your commands, your will. Yes, your love and your grace, and let my heart be changed by it. Let my life be changed by it. Let me be metamorphosized by your glory shining in my life. I'm tired of going through the ritual. Sometimes even prayer and Bible study can be ritual apart from the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me your glory. Show me yourself. And change my life. I like the hymn that says, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Stand and receive God's blessing by faith. Go forth to serve the living God. as lights shining in a dark place. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. Amen.